Good evening. You've tuned into Paradigm Shifters. My name is Veronica Entwistle, and what I try to do each week is bring you some people, some of them are more physical than others, that are making a big difference in helping lift or change or evolve the collective of our species at this time. This is the time that we, many of us, think of as the Great Shift, but we don't really know what that means. So tonight I've got a wonderful, wonderful guest who's been on before, Terry Simons. And Terry also is known as Lady Ashtar and channels Lord Ashtar, who is a being from Venus, who many of you are familiar with. And he's going to talk to us about what's going on from his perspective after we meet with Terry for a little bit. So welcome to the show, Terry.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here tonight. Thank you.
You know, I'm so excited to talk to you. You have a very interesting life. You've been channeling Lord Ashtar for how long?
For 18 years. It started in, going on 19 now. It started in 1992, and he came to me. It was a blessed moment where there was an awakening, and he decided that we're working together.
Oh, is that ever wonderful, hey?
Yes, it is. Yes.
And were you looking for that, or was this kind of like spontaneous combustion?
It was very spontaneous. Although it's something that he says, I was as a wife to him at one point in time.
Uh-huh.
And at that time, I contracted with him that I would come in and be a spokesperson or a mouth for him to use, a body that he could channel through.
Hmm.
And so in a contractual agreement, I've made this agreement. So it came to me. There was a moment in time where I had a true awakening, that call to spirit,
And were you already an intuitive at the time?
I was learning to become one.
Hmm.
I hadn't really practiced it, although I have had experiences with spirit that, unbeknownst to me, I didn't understand the why of it, but I had seen spirits and entities around me, had premonitions, a lot of deja vu throughout my life.
Hmm. So tell me what you think after 18 years of channeling this amazing being who's not afraid to go into the various aspects of life on our planet, and we're really going to go there with him. But what do you think of all of this channeling and, like, what's going on, do you think, with the collective? How do you take, like, the roles of Lord Ashtar and your life? What's happened to you since you started channeling? Do you consider it being a part of a huge change in our culture?
You know, there's a lot of questions in that question.
There sure are.
And I think to kind of sum it up, there's a real change going on, and I've noticed that. I took a bit of a hiatus, and in my return, I've noticed that people seem to be a bit more aware of, there seems to be more knowledge. There's a lot more acceptance in what's happening in our, in the spiritual world, as well as there's a huge number that are beginning to awaken. And I see that in my travels, as I've traveled internationally, there's been a large number of people that are seeking, searching, and many have come to me throughout the 18 years wanting to wake up. They don't know what they're looking for, and they don't even know really why they're sitting before a trance channel, but they know that they need to wake up, and the call to service is there.
How do you explain the term wake up? I know we bandy it about, all of us, but I'm thinking that you've got a pretty good explanation to yourself.
When I think of waking up and what I observe, because when I start channeling, I will sit with somebody and be aware of their energy. After they've listened to Ashtar and I come back into the space with them, I see a dramatic change in their auras, their energies, their very being. And it's as though they have awakened. They've spiritually woke up. One of the ways in which that happens is by being a starseed. Many, many starseeds are coming to Ashtar. And he called the starseeds in long, long ago. He tells this beautiful story. But at the time, he called them in and asked them if they would come to Earth when Earth was ready for her healing, her transformation into the new age, if you will. And it's like a transformation. We used to talk about the age of Aquarius. But they would come. So many people are coming before Ashtar and being awakened at this point. They're star seeds, the seeds that rest in their hearts. And it's a seed from the star of Ashtar that was placed there. And he protected them for all this time. So they are literally waking up and getting ready to go into service to help Mother Earth, mankind, spirit, all the essence of spirituality that's around us, to help them to walk in the light, to walk
that path.
And
Terry, how can you tell if you're a starseed? Who, for listeners?
There's a... Most of the starseeds that come, when Ashtar speaks to them, he'll say, you know you have a purpose. You know you're supposed to be doing something, but you feel lost, kind of overwhelmed with that sense of purpose without a purpose, and that feeling of wanting to do something but not knowing what it is. And it comes from within. It's a, it comes from that heart space. The heart chakra sometimes feels like it wants to draw in when starseeds are trying to put themselves out there. And so many of the starseeds that are awakened will say, I knew I had something to do. I knew there was something significant I was coming to Earth this time to do, but because I didn't know what it was and they were asleep, they needed to wake up. And Ashtar will initiate them into their full awakening.
That's very exciting. I was curious about something. Are very often starseeds alien in their own family of origin? Do you know they're the odd ones, are they?
In their earthly family of origin?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. We. So another way to say that is they march to their own beat or their own drum. But, yeah, they often will feel like they're the one that just didn't quite fit in the family.
Yeah, and that's the way it's supposed to be.
Oh, yes, because they have a purpose. They're supposed to be doing something, and it isn't following a leader. They are leaders. They need to become a part of what they've come to do, which is to help Earth, to help people, humanity, the animals, the vegetation, the whole gamut of what it is to be here and on Earth at this time, and to bring her back into balance.
I keep thinking the shift is about many, 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 or enough beings dropping inside and reevaluating and getting into the true value of who they are, their authenticity, life on this planet, and love. I keep thinking that it kind of is like a number of people, sometimes surprising people all over the world, making this shift. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes, yes. And I think there's truth to that. There's more and more people are walking in their authenticity. And by knowing who you are, whether it's a star seed or a star child or an indigo or, you know, any of the other terms that we've given them, that Spirit's given them, if they know who they are, they can walk in that truth, and they can be authentic, and they can do what they've come to do. But until they have a recognition of who it is, it's kind of an aimless wandering that takes place. I can't help but think of the hermit that goes off into the mountains, and he just waits for that moment where he's, you know, the aha moment, and they know what they're supposed to do and come back into civilization. And I think to some degree that's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
People draw inside themselves until they recognize who they are so they can become authentic.
Yeah, even if they're working in a corporation at the time. Their
oh,
hermitage.
Yes.
So did you have to go through your own version of that, Terry?
Oh, yes. Yes, mm-hmm. I did. Part of it, I ended up going off and sailing up and down the West Coast. I completely, myself and my husband, but we really did leave civilization and went off to explore the coastline, which was a wonderful opportunity. And then I being, take us way back and saying I was in the yuppie culture and a teacher, I was kind of hiding there until it was time to wake up.
But you kind of knew that intuitively, huh?
Yes, yes. I knew there was something I was supposed to be doing, and I knew that it was going to have something to do with helping people.
Uh-huh.
To reach a hand out to those that were ready to stand up and stand in their truth. That I, and of course, being a teacher is one way to do that, but to teach through spirituality and to allow Spirit to work with us and through us is even a greater joy.
Was it a hard breakthrough for you?
I won't say a hard breakthrough because it happened so spontaneously that it was just the next right step to take.
Aha.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we would love to, it's interesting to talk to you, and I'd also love us to meet Ashtar. Are you ready for that yet?
I am. Give me just a moment, and I'll bring him in. Hold on.
That. Okay.
Well, 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 my little one. A beautiful blessing it is for you. Ah, it is a grand time in your world where it is that you share with the universe here in this grand space the words and the wisdoms that come from Spirit to open the doorways, to hand over keys to locked gates where it is that the pathways can become clear. My honor to you for the gift of providing such a beautiful space. My blessings to you and all those that are listening.
Thank you so much. I'm very, very pleased to talk to you. Welcome to the show. And I'd love, this show's called Paradigm Shifters, so I'd really love some of your perspective on our, what would we call it, bubbling collective at this time on the planet. There's an awful lot going on that seems to either be waking people up or killing them off. How do you see that?
You are grand in your explanation, my little one.
Hyper-simplifying, I guess.
It is good. Yes. Civilization in the world around you, it is a grand space. There is, at this time, a bit of what you might call an exodus. That is part of what's taking place. Oh, in many of the great religious forms, there is a discussion about an exodus of some form.
Is that you're speaking of many people leaving the planet?
Well, they are. It isn't exactly as it might be spoken of in terms of the biblical language, but they are. If you look around you, whether it's in war or famine or floods or tsunamis or your incident in your local area, as you call your Tucson, there are many in humanity that are leaving. It is important to understand that through this, you contract when it is you come to Earth to play a role, if you will. And as you play this role, you are in a position that when that time is right, when it is appropriate for your contract to come to its end, then you exit. And thus, you have many that are leaving. Yes, there are those in you, when it is, I spoke of Tucson, many in this listening group have lit up there, and I want to say this. Yes, it's a tragedy. And none of you accept that it is appropriate that one person can come in and create such drama.
Yes.
There is no explanation that can make it right. However, it was a part of the contractual agreement. And it's also important to recognize that although the target was injured severely, she will come from a space of this injury into greater strength and greater purpose, and there will be great truth learned from this. And yes, it is sad that a young child would be taken from her place in this life. But those that lost their life have given to humanity another stronghold where they can stand in their truth and they can stand in their beliefs about the rights and wrongs in the prejudices of your world. Part of what took place is about the prejudices. The example could be perhaps in that of the significance of border crossing, or in the significance of the rights to bear arms, as you say, in the rights of free speech, as you say. You all need to be aware that your actions are reflected upon others, for you are mirrors. You give others the opportunity to see themselves through your actions and your behaviors. And so, as yes, that was a grand tragedy, and much has been learned. And this will carry on for many years to come as a great lesson to humanity. And so, there is sadness. There is a great sense of loss. I do not wish to diminish that. And there's a loss in the man that created the experience. Ill in his nature, yes. Mind not clear, heart not whole. All of that's true. But it is a lesson for humanity. And that's what's important to begin to focus on.
But you know what's funny is in terms of these lessons, I feel perplexed at how we allow our media, for example, to generate hatred without any qualms, you know. And there's a lot of people that aren't very well mentally. I always blame the food, the broken food, and the crazy atmosphere. And I think that we just don't have any, we don't take any responsibility for things like that can affect people's thinking and drive all kinds of craziness. I know we're not supposed to judge, we're supposed to hold with the contracts and really understand we're all doing something. But isn't part of the lesson for us to look at those things?
Absolutely, yes. That is what you're to be doing, to look at them. Your media has become very swift at gathering information and putting it out. And there is no more filters. The filters are missing. That's causing part of the problem in regards to some of these that are less stable, that would take information that's intended to be oh, shall we say, a propaganda or a form thereof, mm-hmm. and to transform it into a reality in their minds.
Mm-hmm.
So media in all forms, to include simple speech with one another, you need to be aware of how you're being perceived in your world. But you touched on several things there.
Mm-hmm.
One was the media, mm-hmm. whether it's the films and your movies, your television, your radio, your rap music, your the list goes on.
Mm-hmm. Juicing those chemical, biochemicals.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
The brain can only handle so much of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you being primarily water, you take on that vibration, and your bodies on all levels begin to vibrate in whatever it is that you are placing in front of yourself as your truth. So what you listen to, what you see, what you eat, what you involve yourself with in your world, whether it's with intent or not, you become a part of that. And that vibration begins to take place in your body.
Mm.
And so, yes, you need to discern. You speak of judgment. I use the term discernment.
Mm-hmm.
Judgment says that you are going to be the judge in this situation. If you use discernment, what you're doing is using your mental capacity, your heart, your mind, your physical body, your emotional bodies, all aspects of you. You are taking the moment to discern whether this is something that serves you. Is this something that betters you? And in the discernment process, it isn't to say that they are wrong, but it is to say it doesn't fit for me today. And I like to use the example of a pair of pants that no longer fits.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't fit, put it back in the closet or send it on to another place. If you are being impressed with information that is not in your heart, and I do not mean to close a blind eye, for you must be aware of what goes on in your world, but to push it aside and say, this is not going to fit in my world, in the essence of who I am. I discern that I choose not to experience any more than what I would call knowledge for my betterment.
Mm.
You're not saying they're bad. You're saying this isn't fitting. You discern, and it becomes a very valid method by which to determine what you allow into your world.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we're taught the elegance of discernment like that.
That's
kids
correct.
Growing up as children, you know.
That's very correct.
Yeah.
And it's something that the children need to learn today, all children, young and old.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful time for this lesson.
Yes, so this extreme, thank you for that. This extreme time, I think, is made more extreme just because of the shrinking world, because of our communications and the overpopulation. How do you see it going with wars and that kind of thing? How do you see us evolving? Are we able to evolve past the greed or the whatever drives the wars?
Yes, you are able to evolve beyond that.
So how can
Absolutely.
We do that?
Absolutely. And it all goes back to discernment.
Mm-hmm.
You can only spend so much money. You can only use so much oil. Some of this that goes on in terms of warring is about taking care of a nation. But when it's based on simple greed, such as, and I'll use the example of oil because it's a very prominent one, it becomes a part of the economic structure of your world. And when one person or one group holds the majority of anything, it could be oil, it could be wheat, it could be cotton, anything. If they hold one stronghold and the rest of the world wants it. On a global level, the economy becomes out of balance, and that's part of what you're seeing today.
Because it's in the hands of too few?
It's in the hands of too few. Mm-hmm. And they are controlling what takes place within the world, your world. And it no longer is really about the betterment of the world and mankind, or the betterment of the earth as she is, such a beautiful, beautiful world, planet. It's not about her betterment or about balance. It's about who has what. You've become so egocentric, and greed is a part of that.
And does that mean that we're all after ourselves?
Yes.
You know what I mean? On a small level, I can see that as a reflection of my own self, mm-hmm. as opposed to their dominance kind of thing.
That's true. Mm. That's very true.
So what do we do about it when we know, like, for example, the economic collapse a while back, and then Goldman Sachs now has more money than it had before, which mm-hmm. is kind of overwhelming to conceive of. But when we know that, when we know what's going on, what do we do about it?
It begins with you. It begins at home in your own environment. You discern what's right for you. Remember earlier I said, you are a mirror to everyone that looks at you, to everyone that encompasses you. And if you become their reflection and you discern within your own life that these aspects of you are what you want the world to perceive, how you want the world to live, they will, those other people, will begin to look upon you as their mirror. And as a result, they will start to behave in a similar fashion. It all begins within that of the element of self. When you identify who you are, it goes back even to the awakening we were speaking of. When you know who you are, and you can begin to walk in that truth, you then reflect that out to humanity.
Mm-hmm.
If we take it back to the other incident that I spoke of in terms of water, and mm-hmm. you carry that vibration, and that vibration then becomes a part of the mirroring effect, and they in turn begin to vibrate at your level, imagine what you can do.
Mm.
It can be profound.
And how long will it take?
Well, it takes. In reality, mm-hmm. it could take eons.
Mm.
But it's beginning. It's mm-hmm. happening. Many of you are well into it. If you look into the amazing number of spiritual groups that are becoming more commonplace than unique and hidden, not so much the underground, but more at the surface and reaching with beautiful hands and rays of light out and saying, come with me, I can show you a better way. It's profound what's happening in your world.
Another thing that we've been hearing about for a long time is that those people saying, I can find a better way, come mm-hmm. with me. And more of us are consciously wanting to raise our fields and frequency. And we've been told that it can get to a point where those beings who are carrying consciously a high frequency cannot be in touch with the ones carrying the low frequencies and vice versa. Is that true?
Yes and no.
Okay.
When you're a very high frequency individual, in most cases, your energy is such that it will repel those that are extremely low. And I'm not saying those that are seeking and looking for help. I'm talking about those that would be, we'll say, mischievous and maybe even evil. the term I do not wish to use because mischief seems to fit just nicely, but for the purpose of this conversation, they tend to repel them. And the reason is it goes back to vibration. You're at such a high vibration if you are elevated at that level that those with a very low vibration find it difficult to be around you.
Okay.
And so the answer to the question is yes and no. It's not that you can't, and it's not that you may in fact say, I welcome you in as a teacher to a student and a student to a teacher. I welcome you in, and let's begin to lift your vibration into this higher level. You all began somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But for those that are truly mischievous and truly causing harm, unless it's a contractual agreement, they will stay away from those of higher vibration. They cannot be in your energy. It drains them. It takes their life out. Because they focus on that negative. They focus in the dramas of life. They can't
and it brings,
be around.
It brings up their shadow if they're with people with
that's
life.
True.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
What about people in major government positions? How many of those are of high frequency? Or are there?
Oh, yes, there are some that are very high frequency. One example, and although this is taking it a bit further than what you'd intended, your Dalai Lama would be an example.
Hmm.
Although he's not a representative of a particular country for the purpose of a political standing, king, queen, or whatever, he holds a lot of political clout.
Hmm.
And he's of great high standing. And there are many. You said what percentage in the political system as you speak in terms of your, shall I say,
U.S. government? Yes.
You show me that of high-frequency vibration, you have about a third at this point.
Hmm.
About 30%. Remember, they are working in a vibratory setting that can be very dark and very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of greed, a lot of egos.
Mm-hmm.
And that can draw that energy down.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're trying to build it up. It's like having too many lights on a circuit, on an electrical circuit. At some point, when you plug one more thing in, it draws down that energy.
Mm.
You have that potential. But you are also serving to push that energy up like an amplifier.
Mm.
And so it's about 30% in your particular country at this time in the governmental policies. Most of you that are listening can point to several that you could say they are. And they're the ones that are truly working for the people, not for themselves, not for their good, but for the people trying to bring basic elements of life into their world.
So rather than getting into the streets in a state of revolution or rebellion, we should be sending energy into the government offices and so on, sending light?
Yes, because that's where the change takes place.
Hmm.
By going into a rebellious state with weapons and violence, you're only a part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go with your intellects and with your hearts, with your prayers and with your truth, prayer is so potent. Many of you will say that if I believe in something, I can manifest it. And I'll tell you that's true.
Mm.
And a prayer is a part of the process of manifestation because you believe in it and you're asking, whether you're meditating or praying, it is all very similar in the energy you give to us for our efforts to assist you.
Mm-hmm.
Put your time into prayer rather than into violence. Be aware mm-hmm. of the structure of your political system and know who's doing what.
Mm-hmm.
In your country, your best opportunity for change. It isn't kick them all out and start all over. Look at them, know what they stand for, and recognize that your system doesn't allow them to walk in and make a complete change.
Right.
It's going to take time.
Yeah, I was sure Obama walked in on a terrible machine.
It was very broken,
yeah.
And it's still broken, but it's better than it was.
But he's being blamed for a lot of the stuff that was already getting going before he got in.
That's true.
Well, so I want to ask you this. Do you think the economic and political systems are dissembling, as we keep hearing?
On a global statement, yes.
Mm-hmm.
In your country, not so much.
Oh, really?
It's reassembling. It's not so much dissembling. It's not falling apart. That's already happened. Now it's starting to rebuild.
Hmm.
Do you understand that?
I guess my brain is going, well, what about Sarah Palin, and what about all the gun stuff, and what about the economic? People are people are without homes, and there's been that huge mortgage swindle, and there's less and less services, and they're cutting back on, any of the whole healthcare debacle was just incredibly terrifying to some people.
Mm-hmm.
And I always think we should all have those supports, but it's getting less and less.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels kind of in transition, a little bit scary.
It is. That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And most of you would agree with that, that there is fear that begins to envelop because it is being torn down,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, it's being rebuilt. And using your health statement as an example, there's a lot of problems in that. And many of you that are listening are thinking, oh my goodness, but it's a beginning. And that's what needs to be understood. It's in its infancy. An infant doesn't just get up and run.
Mm-hmm.
An infant doesn't know that if you get on a bike and you have balance, you can ride it.
That's right.
And it doesn't know how to fly a plane. But in time, it will learn to do that. And that's what this health care bill or proposition is all about. It's in its beginning. It takes a lot of shifting and changing before it will become anything that will truly, truly help the masses of people. Will it become a socialistic health care? No. It's in transition. The same is true with your economic situation. Many of you think that the dollar will be devalued. That's not going to happen. Your stock market is a perfect example. It's building at a very, very good pace. Most of you remember when it fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
But if there is an awareness, you'll see that it is rising up. It's a roller coaster. And it's breathing. When I look at your stock market, I often refer to breathing. It breathes, and sometimes it takes a bit of a sigh, and sometimes it takes a deep breath. But if you let it breathe, the infant can grow.
Hmm. And what about all this, I see some bubbling entrepreneurialism going on all over the country. Do you see that as well?
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. Entrepreneurism is very, very important in the economic climate that you have today. Partly because it's important to bring financial rewards to your own people.
Mm-hmm.
You've done a lot of support throughout the world. By being entrepreneurial, you're in a position that you become responsible for yourself. And by being responsible for you and your family, you're in a position then that you can open doors and find a sense of security in it. You can make the changes that need to come in order to do what your families need, what you need. So yes, there is a lot of entrepreneurialism.
And what about, can we interfere with the genetically modified food supplies?
You spoke of that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the food supplies in your world, those of you that are organic.
Mm-hmm.
Doing your very best at providing a food structure that eliminates most of the preservatives and other chemicals that your bodies were not designed to use.
Mm-hmm.
Your scientists will tell you it's all right, the body filters it out. But then you will say, but look at the cancers that are in your world. And they're growing. And look at these, the list just goes on. It is, your bodies can adjust to them. The organism of the physical body is exceptional in its mannerisms.
Mm-hmm.
But you were not designed to take chemicals into your body, filter them out, and expect them to simply go away. Much of it you hold on to, like heavy metals would be an example.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be aware of what you put into your bodies. Much of what's happening with mental health, with ADHD, with social inabilities, is a result of the foods you're consuming. By hybridizing your foods, you're changing its structure so that the body has to change and evolve in a way that it can digest and sort out the nutrients while eliminating the parts that no longer serve. Chemicals would be the examples as the preservatives. By eliminating those, it puts a stress on the body, but the body will evolve to some degree to support that. But the physical body needs to pull out the nutrients. The hybridization on some levels, not with all of them, but with some, causes stress in the body. And as that goes through the cellular system of your body, through your blood system and through your organs, through your lungs, through the oxygen you breathe, it plays a role in taxing it.
Mm-hmm.
So some people will say, I just don't feel good. But they mm-hmm. can't define why.
Mm-hmm.
They look
exhausted.
At their diet, they probably can figure out why.
Mm-hmm.
If they look at the consumption of the foods that they're choosing, or choosing to go back to a more organic or natural food structure, you'll find that the beings will feel better.
Well, that's great. I would like to ask you several different things. I don't know if we're going
to
have time, but
mm-hmm.
About becoming more...
I tend to talk a lot.
I like that. Being multidimensional, wanting to be more and more multidimensional, or in fact seeing, being able to see or be in cahoots with, if you will, beings that are called extraterrestrial, whether
mm-hmm.
beings like you. Can you talk a little bit about that? I know that you came from some planetary structure and then lived on Venus, right?
My origin as a life structure is Venusian.
Okay.
I came from Venus.
Uh-huh.
To make the story very short, it was necessary for us to leave. We had destroyed our planet. Some wanted to live on a planet, and some chose to go to space. For those that chose to live on a planet, we came to the first one, which was Earth, that would support us. So some stayed behind. I and many others went to space, and so yes, you might say that I then was an extraterrestrial.
Mm-hmm.
However, I currently now am in my light form. I'm of a higher dimension. I'm 11th dimensional. I am an ascended master. I come from a space that brings the light of God and the presence of God into mm-hmm. this world that you know.
Aww.
Having
do you,
said
do
that,
you eat anything?
No. No. It's a
That's
good question.
A cheeky question. Oh, okay.
It's a good question. Many have asked me that. What do you eat out there in those spaceships? It's good, my little one.
And
we could say that we are much like your, what would you call this, Star Trek in that regards, those that come and go.
Mm-hmm.
I like
But
to,
we could be like that, couldn't we eventually?
Live on light?
Yes, do we have it in our system? Are we capable of evolving ourselves to be like you?
On many levels, yes, but your physical bodies, with a very few exceptions, your physical bodies require nutrients.
Okay.
And that nutrient is more than sunlight.
Okay.
You need nutrients in order to support the physical form you call a body.
Mm-hmm.
You will be able to do as I do when it is you are in your light body, which is what I am in.
And that's an evolutionary developmental
correct
thing?
That is correct.
It sounds so exciting to become multidimensional, at least from my perspective.
Yes, it is, and you will enjoy it as you become more and more so. It is very, very good.
And to drop back on Earth for a moment, I forgot, I have a question here that several have asked me to ask you, which is, why are the birds dying, falling out of the air, and why are the fish?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Your birds and your fish. The birds are a result of, it's an energetic activity that has taken place. It's like a supersonic vibration, but it's something that you were unable to hear. And it caused them to hemorrhage.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
Is it terribly painful for them?
No, for most of them, they were unaware.
Okay.
Unaware of it. It was a sudden shock of energy. It would be like what transpired in what you call the Bermuda Triangle, where there was a gas bubble that came up, and the bubble, as it burst, and the gases as they were, caused everything to become heavy and sink. You follow that?
Yes.
It's rather extreme for many of your listeners. I thought
they changed dimension there.
They do.
Okay.
That's true. But it was a part of that. There was a physical activity that took place that caused this transformation to happen. The same's true with this situation. Some of you are saying it's a chemical that's been put out. Some of you are saying that it's pollutant. Some of what took place with the fish is a pollutant problem. However, most of it was an energy that you were unable to feel and or sense, but the birds and the fish did. And no, they didn't have a sense of pain or suffering.
Oh, that's good. Is it going to continue doing this, or is it done?
It's over.
Okay. So what would you recommend for people? I mean, you have such a beautiful frequency, and I'm asking two questions at once, which I guess is because I'm a Gemini. But anyway.
You are a beautiful one.
Thank you. What can we ask of you? How can we participate with you and wonderful beings like you who are around? Do we just communicate with you to strengthen our bond, to help the evolution of our species? What is it that we can ask you to do or help us with?
Again, I'll go back to prayer and meditation.
Okay.
Your prayers do not have to be long, drawn-out prayers, although that, too, is a very powerful method. But just a simple stop in the moment of time and say thank you. Or as you are washing your dishes and you recognize that there's beauty around you, or a child is suffering, or an animal needs assistance, just simply call to us and ask us to look in on these children, the people, the elderly, to watch over your mountains, to provide safe air for all of humanity, or water that's drinkable. Just simple words.
Can you imbue the water with oxygen and purification?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Mm.
You do it with prayer, and you do it with energy.
So you can participate if we ask, right?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. And are you allowed to participate otherwise?
Yes, sometimes we do step in where it is for the benefit of many. But I will say that when we are stepping in, assisting when not requested, someone, someplace on your earth plane has asked us to do that. And we will work from your higher presence. In other words, each of you carries the spark of God, and each of you carries that presence. Mm-hmm. And as it is that you do, you also carry your higher self or your God presence. Often, that spark of light will call on us to assist for the benefit of the many.
Mm.
Doesn't have to come from you in your physical thought process or words, although that vibration is very pleasant. We enjoy it very much. It's like beautiful songs that you present to us.
Mm.
Like the harps of the angels, if you will.
Mm.
It's quite grand. But your higher selves will call upon us. And so you don't have to physically acknowledge it, but just in your gentle awareness of it, you call to us to assist.
Hmm.
So the question was, can we do this without being invited? We're always invited.
Mm-hmm.
Someone, someplace invites us.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. And we're glad.
My honor for you, my little one.
And the final question is, some of your beings,
mm-hmm,
live amongst us, do they not?
Yes, they do.
And they use a process called cloaking?
That's true.
Can you explain that to people who don't know about it?
I explain it this way. In your world, a world that's based upon fear, it is most important that we, all of us that are coming in the light, in God's presence, for the purpose of good, for us to come through, whether it is through space or as an extraterrestrial light being on Earth, for us to come in and begin the process of shifting the vibratory status of Earth into a higher vibration. It's essential for the wellness, for the health and goodness of your Earth.
Mm.
In order for that to take place, because Earth is based in duality and fear is a part of that duality, rather than creating more fear, we cloak, which means we become invisible. The energy's there. Many of the listeners will note there are times when it's difficult to enter a room,
mm-hmm,
or somebody will be present and they just can't quite approach them.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody will approach them that they don't know, that will be a bit shocking or stunning. Their energies are what I'm talking about. The energies of a universal light source can become present and be felt, whether it's a cool breath, a cool breeze or a brush of the hair. You feel things. You know things. We're there and we're present, but call it cloaking, call it invisible. We do not present ourselves in a physical form so that there would be less fear and more acceptance, so that the energy can begin to work and the vibratory levels can be raised.
Mm. So we're grateful that you're in and amongst us then, aren't we?
Most of you are quite grateful. Some of you wonder why, but we are there, my little one. We will work with you.
Love you to come for tea. So,
so we will, my little one.
Well, that would be wonderful. And I'm sorry, but we have to close, unfortunately. But if you'd like to give you're at LadyAshtar.com. Is that how people find out
what
you're...
That's correct, my little one.
And... I am so grateful that you joined us today, and I'm sure all our listeners are as well.
It is an honor to be in the presence of many and to share in this beautiful light. For each and all that have listened, your vibrations are being raised at a very quick rate. Your bodies will feel healthier. Your minds will be quicker. You will know more clearly what your path is. And I will add that some of the star seeds have woken as a process of your gift to them this night. My blessings, my little one.
Thank you so much, Ashtar.
It is an honor.
Thank you so much. So that was Ashtar through Terry Simons, and you can keep up with his travels around Japan and various other places on LadyAshtar.com. What a wonderful experience. My next week, my guest is Sharon Wyeth, who does a thing called Nameology, Know Your Name, Know the Person. And she's going to do numerology and so on. It's going to be very exciting. Thursday night, we'll be on Radiance by Design. I think we're going to talk about love this week. It's a call-in show at 7 o'clock Thursday night. And at 8 o'clock, Jackie Silvitti and ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, I have so enjoyed Ashtar and Terry Simons tonight, and I sure hope you have. If you have any feedback, feed me back. Write to me, Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com. That's Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com. Or if you'd like a session with me or even with them, please email me with your suggestions. And again, I want to say thank you to Terry Simons and Ashtar, and perhaps they'll join us again. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for listening. Let's call in some wonderful love frequencies. Take a deep breath and breathe them out to one another and be our paradigm-shifting community. Many blessings and good night.